Rays Radio Network proudly presents This Week in Rays Baseball.
Drilled to center field and deep. Back out of his seat, to the track, to the wall, it's gone! Evan Longoria with a two-run home run to straightaway center, and he gives the Rays a 6-4 lead here in the ninth.
Coming up, we'll recap the action from this past week, take a look around Major League Baseball, and sit down for in-depth interviews with the biggest names in the game.
1-2. Got a pitch. Got him swinging, and the ball game is over as Jake McGee strikes out the side in the ninth inning.
Here's your host, Neil Solons.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show. Happy Mother's Day. This week, you're going to hear from Steven Souza Jr., hear Mother's Day wishes from Rays players, and meet Allie Shelton, wife of Derek Shelton, to get a unique perspective on this Mother's Day as well. We start with highlights from the week gone by. Sunday, the Rays were looking to win a series against Baltimore. Nathan Carnes had a 2-0 lead when he was lifted in the sixth, and unfortunately, for a rare time, the bullpen couldn't hold it.
Now Jepson works. Swinging a line drive, base hit center field, everything backfiring. Machado scores. Here comes a throw by Kiermaier. Paredes scores. It's 4-2 Orioles.
And Tampa Bay fell by that 4-2 score and dropped 2 of 3 in that odd road series at Tropicana Field. Monday, the Rays went to Boston, beginning a three-game set with the Red Sox at Fenway Park. Playing his first game in that ballpark, Joey Butler made quite an impression.
Here it comes to Butler, swinging a long drive to left, high in the air, on its way, gone, home run. Joey Butler with his first home run as a Ray, and then the Rays have a 4-0 lead.
The Butler home run off Clay Buchholz helped the Rays get a rare win against the righty. Jake Odorizzi went 7 in a 5-1 victory over Boston. Tuesday, friends Drew Smyly and Rick Porcello squared off in quite a pitching duel. Unfortunately for the Rays, Porcello was one pitch better.
Here's the 0-1. Swing and a fly ball deep left field. DeJesus is just going to turn around and watch this one. Bang off one of the advertisements over the monster. It's a solo home run for Mookie Betts. He breaks up the no-no, breaks up the scoreless tie. It's 1-0 Boston.
And Mookie Betts eventually hit a second homer as the Rays dropped a 2-0 decision to Boston. Wednesday, the Rays looked to win a series against the Red Sox, and Tampa Bay's franchise player helped the team do just that.
It's doing a high towering drive to deep left field. It's on its way to the back bay and gone. Home run. Evan Longoria with his second of the night. And the Rays get the insurance run. It's 5-3.
The Rays bullpen battled through some tough moments in the eighth and ninth and won by that 5-3 score. Thursday, the Rays started a homestand against Texas. Before the game, Alex Cobb detailed the PRP injection he had during the road trip. Then during the game, the Rays were missing Longoria due to illness, and Chris Archer was missing with his command.
There's a swing and a line drive in the center. That's going to get down for a base hit. Odoro score. Here comes DeShields around third. The throw to the plate is offline, and the other runners can advance 90 feet. It's a two-run single for Elvis Andrus, and now Texas leads 4-0.
The Rays would battle back but fell 5-4 to Texas as the Rangers won their fourth game in a row. Friday, Alex Cobb revealed he had a full tear of the ligament in his elbow and now is going to have Tommy John surgery.
You know, it was a tough decision because you want to hold on to every last hope of being able to pitch this year and contribute. But, you know, I think not only for my own future, but, you know, going into next season and contributing for the team next year, better not to waste any more time. Just go ahead and do it.
And then Nathan Carnes went out and threw 7-plus innings in the game, and Brandon Guyer gave the Rays some breathing room in the sixth.
Sends one home, lifted in the air, well to left field. Going back is Peguero, looking over the wall, gone! A three-run pinch hit homer by Brandon Guyer, and the Rays bust it open. It's 5-0.
And the Rays went on to win over Texas 8-2 as Carnes picked up his second win after the game. Matt Andrees was called up because of illness to take the place of Jake Odorizzi, and an injury to Drew Smyly put him on the DL. And then yesterday, knowing the Rays were battling those pitching injuries, Evan Longoria made sure the staff got some runs to work with early.
Here's the pitch, lifted in the air to center field and deep. Back at it, Martin, back to the wall, turns around, it's gone! Evan Longoria with a home run to straightaway center field. It's a three-run shot, and the Rays are on the board. It's 3-0.
Steven Souza Jr. hit a three-run homer, too. Andrew Bilotti, just called up from AAA, won his Major League debut as the Rays won 7-2 to move 3 over .500 and within two games of New York in the AL East. Hey, the annual Rays broadcast auction will be this coming Wednesday, May 13th. Tune in for a chance to bid on exclusive experiences. The proceeds benefit the Rays Baseball Foundation and Tampa General Hospital Foundation. For more information, visit RaysBaseball.com/broadcast auction to preview what will be up for bid. Rays up! You're listening to This Week in Rays Baseball. Coming up, my sit-down with Steven Souza Jr. right after this on the Rays Baseball Network.
We continue on This Week in Rays Baseball, and our special guest this week is Steven Souza Jr. On this Mother's Day, Steven, any special wishes for Mom on this day?
Just a big thanks to my mom. She did so much for me growing up. I played about 2 hours away from where I lived, and so her and my father drove up. They sacrificed a lot of their time, and they taught me how to treat people and taught me about Jesus. So I'm just very thankful on this day for my mom and how she raised me.
How are you like your mom? In what ways?
I'm a thinker. My mom's a big thinker. She analyzes things, sometimes overanalyzes them, sometimes I overanalyze them. But it also works the best because in situations I can try and see the both sides of things, and that's what she does really good. She tries to see both sides really well, and so she's passed that on to me.
You mentioned that she drove you to a lot of games. Are there other memories you have playing sports or any other activities as a kid that stand out?
When we were in Ephrata, Washington, we were at a tournament that my mom and I had drove to, and it was just me and her, and we drove about 3 hours away, 3.5-4 hours away, and I just remember listening to country the whole way and getting there, and it was one of the moments when I was a kid. I think I was about 15 or 16, and I was sticking out my head out the window, and the wind was blowing in my face like a car. And it was pretty funny. And my mom was getting passed up by different people, and I was yelling at my mom, saying that grandmas were passing her up, and we were laughing for hours about it. We still laugh to this day about it, so that's one of my favorite memories.
Good stuff. Now, I know you carry your dad's name, Steven Souza Jr. How are you like your dad, and what does it mean to carry his name?
No, I'm more like my dad than my mom, for sure. My dad's very energetic. I try to be energetic. My dad forgets a lot of things. I forget a lot of things. My dad's also a very passionate person. When he finds something that he's passionate about, whether for him it's his family and his job, he gives it everything he has at all times. And he even does umpiring, and he's very passionate. So that's one thing that I've really taken on from my father, is the work ethic. If you're going to do something, do it 100%. Don't just go one foot in, give it everything you got, and leave everything there.
I know you had family members here on opening day, but I thought it was really unique that your Little League coach was here too. I thought it was pretty cool. Tell me that relationship and how you've stayed in touch with a coach that he would come all the way out here for that.
Yeah, he not only was he my Little League coach, but he was my soccer coach. He was my basketball coach. And we did everything together. So him and my father coached me until I was about 14 years old, 13 years old. And, you know, he maybe didn't know the high side of baseball, like the breaking down mechanics, but teaching me the fundamentals and just being a positive voice in my life at that time. And we've just always kept in touch. He's been such good friends with our family. It's been full of laughter growing up, and we still laugh about a ton of stuff. And we talked about memories when he was here, and that was really cool. And I was really thankful that he got the opportunity to see my first opening day.
Certainly, it's a unique individual to bring out, and it's great that you've been able to maintain a relationship like that. I mean, you've had a whirlwind couple first months in this organization. You got married right before spring training. Have you had a chance to catch your breath a little bit?
I don't think so. I think it's slowly starting to slow down now. But I don't think I realized how crazy it was the last couple months. But I'm starting to get my feet underneath me. It's been crazy, you know, new organization, trying to learn how to live a married life, dealing with all those obstacles and you know, changing names and insurances and finding a house here, taking care of my house back up. All that stuff kind of piles up, and so finally slowing down and getting my feet underneath me. But again, not complaining about those things, just very thankful. It's just in a season of adjustments.
How's your wife adjusting to it, and how's she enjoying things down in Florida so far?
She's adjusting. She's a flight attendant, so she goes back and forth. And she's learning. She's learning the same way I'm learning how to deal with a full season as married life. And she's doing a really good job at battling. It's not easy to go back and forth and be separated, but she's a very strong woman and loves the Lord. So that carries us through most of these tough times, and we're going to keep going, and she definitely encouraged me on a daily basis.
Steven Souza Jr. with us on This Week in Race Baseball. And chatting with David DeJesus in a previous show, he talked about, you know, being an influence on a lot of young players and yourself included in that group. How has he been helpful to you in helping you relax and get you acclimated?
Yeah, he's been terrific. I mean, he's probably the closest guy I have on the team. We hang out. Me, him, and Archer probably hang out the most. And I'm just trying to pick his brain on situations in the game, more of how to handle yourself on a daily basis. I think as a young player, you don't necessarily understand, because you've had so much success in the minor leagues, on how to deal with a tough start or how to deal with a tough stretch, knowing that you have 4 more months ahead of you. It's a little easier when you're in the minor leagues and you know that no one's going to come up and take your job. But when you're in the big leagues and there's people watching and there's TVs on you, you have to learn how to handle your emotions. And so he's been really good at showing me, you know, where to put my faith in and where to put my focus in.
And I would guess even setting up a day-to-day routine to find something you're comfortable with. And I've kind of watched your routine at times, the work you do on the field. Who started that? The glasses that you use, the small ball, what kind of initiated all that?
I kind of initiated it myself. For the longest time, coaches wanted to break down mechanics for me, and I would get in the box, and I was so worried about looking right that I wasn't actually worried about hitting the ball. And so I took it upon myself to kind of get back to hand-eye coordination and say, well, you know, if you break it down, not everyone has a perfect swing, but some guys have really good timing and hand-eye coordination, and they get away with a lot of stuff. And so obviously I want to strive for the best mechanical swing, but at the end of the day, that was my biggest key at that moment, was I need to learn how to hit the ball and see the ball and be on time with it. And so I've kind of run with that too, and just kept my timing going.
When and where did you start that, the small ball drills and the glasses?
It started in 12, kind of on and off. It was inconsistent. I would do it some days. I'd go weeks without it. When I feel bad, I would do it, and then I'd get away from it. And then in 2013, Melvin Dorda, who was a coach for me, who's a voluntary assistant coach, or a player coach, and first year, and he didn't really know a whole lot of people, but for some reason out the gate, God allowed us to just connect right away. And I mean, first game we connected, and he could throw the balls as hard as he could, accurately, with no L screen. And he was just getting pelted with balls. But it allowed me to catapult myself to handle higher speeds and see the ball longer. And really, I owe so much thanks to him.
And you've had some others along the way who've certainly been helpful. You're wearing number 20, and I know that that's in part due to Ian Desmond, who you also had a good relationship with the Nationals organization. What's the rapport between the two like, and do you stay in touch, and are you looking forward to when the Rays do face the Nationals later this year through Interleague?
Yeah, he's been one of my biggest mentors, especially last year when I got to the big leagues, just learning how to carry yourself, how to be a real true leader and mature leader on a baseball team. That also takes time and allowing yourself to have some success on the field. But the way he handled the clubhouse and the mature way he handled his family, it spoke volumes. And to me, he single-handedly showed me, you know, people look not only at the way you handle yourself on the field, but how you carry your family and how you carry everything else. And that will define a leader. And so you know, a lot of baseball knowledge. We came up together. We never really played together in the minor leagues, but we were always in instructional league and spring training together, and always kept in touch. And now we keep in touch more than ever, texting each other, calling each other, seeing how each other's doing, encouraging each other. You know, when he was going through that tough stretch, tried to encourage him, and then I went through my tough stretch, and he was encouraging me. So, yeah, he's probably my biggest mentor. Him and Jason Worth have been my two.
And Jason is a guy, you know, you mentioned guys who don't have perfect swings. His swing is not perfect, and he may be similar in that regard.
Yeah, and he just goes up there and battles. And baseball-wise, he taught me some of the best stuff I've ever heard. He took the time to just pull me apart and just instill knowledge in me, and I'll forever be in debt for that.
beyond David DeJesus in this clubhouse, what coach or other players have been really helpful in making you feel comfortable? You mentioned Chris Archer, too.
Yeah, Arch has been awesome. I think we connected right away. You know, Arch's character's, you know, through the roof. I think he gets discredited, but he was the first guy to call me when I got traded and welcome me to the team. And to me, for someone to do that, it speaks volumes of their character, because it's not easy to do that. You don't know what that guy on the other telephone's like. He may shut you up or say, I don't need this, or that's kind of a leap of faith. So for him to do that, he gained my respect right away. And coaches, I'm still getting to know everyone. You know, Jamie Nelson obviously throws the balls to me every day, so we're kind of clicking on a level. Shelty's awesome. Foley and I have a great relationship. All the coaching staff here is terrific, and so I'm just looking forward to building on a relationship with them.
Again, Stephen Souza Jr. with us on This Week in Rays Baseball. You know, we mentioned your dad and how tight you are. He works for Boeing. If you were not in baseball, do you ever think of what you would be doing if you were not playing this game, and what would that be?
You know, I've gone back and forth so much on what I would do. I remember when I was coming up in high school, I wanted to be an engineer. Now I look back, and I think I want to be a teacher. When I'm done, even when I'm done, if I play 20 years, I think that ability to build on the youth at such a young age and really pour into them is so important in today's society, and you see the lack of it sometimes. And so that would be something that I would definitely want to do.
You know, mentoring and teaching is such an important part of life. And you know, having read, Brent Littlebridge was a big part of you getting on track. Will you get to see him when the Rays go out to Seattle next month? Is he going to come out here? And how have you guys stayed in touch? Obviously, I know he helped you on a path.
Yeah, I sure hope so, that when we go there, I get to see him. He's been terrific. You know, back home, you know, when I don't see the guys that I play with, like when I wouldn't be in D.C. with Ian and those guys, he was just so gracious to me. And swing-wise, he helped me out, probably one of the biggest guys to help me out. And he's just a good dude, man. He just he takes the time to talk to people. He never talks down to people. You just get that feeling that he actually cares about you. And he genuinely does. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him when we get back there.
I know it's been a whirlwind pace, but let's try and look forward. 5 years from now, what do you hope people are saying about Stephen Souza Jr. as a teammate, as a player?
5 years from now, that's a long time. A lot of things can happen. But if I'm blessed with the opportunity to be here for 5 years, that would be amazing. And I would hope that, you know, I would start to develop similar to what Ian did. Ian has been in Washington for 5-6 years, develop a kind of a reputation of being a leader the right way, leading my team and not just poking around and telling them this is what you need to do, this is how it's done, but leading by example and really caring for each person on the field, in the stands, all the fans, just being a person who cares. That's what I'd like to remember by.
Well, hopefully on that path you continue during the course of this Mother's Day weekend. Thanks for a few minutes on This Week in Rays Baseball.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
That's Stephen Souza Jr., and we continue right after this on the Rays Baseball Network. We continue on This Week in Rays Baseball, and joining us now from Sun Sports, Orestes Estrada. Orestes, first of all, anyone you want to wish a happy Mother's Day to out there today?
Every mother out there, especially the baseball moms that suffer through so many driving and doing all the crazy, the kind of the grunt work of being a baseball mom, I'm sending a wish to, because we as ball players would be nowhere without you.
Well said. In terms of this ball club right now, you know, they're finding a way with all the injuries they've had. What's been most impressive in this 17-14 start?
The resiliency, really, Neil. We just can refer back to 2012, where they had a pretty solid first couple of 3 weeks of the season, and then injuries started, you know, decimating this team. Obviously, the biggest one being Evan Longoria, the captain that I consider the captain of this team, missed most of that season, and it seemed like they were ill-prepared to take on all the losses that they continue to mount. This year, it has a different feel. We're not deeper into the season, so the jury's still out. But I just feel like there's a better resiliency. There's a better understanding. There's more depth to Durham, and as far as what's being sent up and up and down, really, because you got to commend Durham and you got to commend the organization for being somewhat prepared for this. But more importantly, I think just the every time next man up has been impressive. I mean, case in point last night with Bilotti and Andrew coming in, and this kid's 23 years old, fresh, and just came out and did a great job.
Indeed. And, you know, you look at what's occurred so far, it can't happen without the guy who's on the mound today, Jake Odorizzi, and Chris Archer, because, you know, certainly they've helped anchor what is now a very, very inexperienced staff.
Exactly. And it is really kind of falls on those two guys now, what it seemingly was going to be falling on maybe a four-pack of Cobb, Archer, Odorizzi, Smiley. Now is down to two, and we're unsure as far as the nature of the length of loss that Lefty Smiley would be with his shoulder issues. But we, like everything else, we have to assume, unfortunately, the worst. So if the worst is he's going to be out for quite a while, then it does fall on Odorizzi and Archer as young veterans right now. And they've been well-schooled, I will say that. I mean, the legacy of Price and Shields has been outstanding and has left, you know, it's not a void. It's been they filled the gaps really well, and you can't help but commend Jim Hickey. I do it all the time, but he does the job all the time. So he is to me one of the gurus of pitching coaches.
And the promising thing is that Matt Moore is getting closer to getting back. He pitched to hitters again this week for a second time. Jake McGee is coming close to returning to the bullpen, so there could be added depth soon.
Yeah, there could be, and Matty looks very smooth, and again, a major jury still out on that one as to how far and how quick he'll be able to come back from. But I will say this, if you really think about, and I'm an offensive guy, you know, but if you really think about if this team could just get a streak going of hitting consistently for a good month period of time, there's a lot of damage, because they're still playing the close games. They're still in that one run most of the time, 5-4, 4-3 type of situation. Which side are you on? So it really kind of, really unfortunately, still comes back to how quality of hitting you get, and then if you can get those extra runs. Defense have been outstanding. Overall pitching's been great. Bullpen's been solid. So, yeah, more pitching, very much appreciated, but really it's about the hitting right now.
Well, Evan Longoria has been hitting the last couple of weeks. What have you seen that's been different?
Well, it started here in that homestand before. Well, you know, the real homestand, not the Baltimore Orioles road homestand. I think you really saw in Evan Longoria that started squaring the ball up and getting a lot of line drive base hits. He did get a few Texas leaguers, but he was hitting the ball hard, getting some doubles and singles. And me as a former hitter, I knew that if I was going through a stretch of a week or two of doing that, not riding, you know, hitting home runs and driving in a lot of runs, probably because there wasn't men in front of me on base, but I'm feeling pretty good the next time that comes up with men in scoring position or one that I could really drive. And that's exactly the migration that you saw. You saw hits, now, you know, driving in runs, now home runs, now everything, hits and driving in runs. And that's the Evan that we really overall know that could be a guy that should be able to hit 275, you know, drive in 100, 110 runs and hit 25 to 35 home runs.
The lineup itself has changed around Evan a little bit. You know, Struble Cabrera was supposed to be the guy in front of him. He's moved down in the order. Yesterday, it looked like he finally got himself on track a little bit.
Massively. That's a big day. I mean, it's only one day in 162, but as a former switch hitter, when you're really struggling from one side like he was 1-for-22 from the right side, really an anomaly. This guy is a better right-handed hitter than he is left-handed hitter. So in his already very good career of a good sampling of years, I saw that he went to the opposite field real well, wasn't spinning, and then he popped a home run. So when you as a switch hitter have a really good day from both sides of the plate, you carry that over and you take that confidence and you take what you remembered, staying on top of the ball, driving it up the middle. He's a quality hitter.
And Steven Souza Jr. hit the 3-run homer. He's been up and down, but he's had some pretty good moments.
He has had some good moments. Personally, I'd like to see him drive the ball to right center more. I mean, that's just really what he needs to remember. And I know, I'm sure the hitting coaches here, both Derek Shelton and Jamie Nelson, are trying to remind him of that. But there are pitches that I see that he needs to drive that way. Interestingly, the one that he hit the home run, he hooked it. He literally hooked that ball. That was a ball in the middle to the outer half that he went out, boom, he's so strong that he was able to hook it in a line drive. That's the same pitch that he hit the center field for 500 feet. So that's the difference of a hitter by millimeters of where you're placing your hands and how long you wait on the ball that makes you more consistent. Now, that's a great drive. I'll take it. But the consistent value for him is to think right field, maybe hit the left center, and he'll come around. He's a smart kid and incredibly hardworking. So I appreciate the kid immensely.
Good stuff. We look forward to continuing to watch his development and the rest of this team. Thanks for joining us on This Week in Rays Baseball.
You got it, Neil. Anytime.
And that's Orestes Destrada of Sun Sports. Before we continue, let's pause for station identification on the Rays Baseball Network.
This is Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM.
Neil Solon's with you at the Race Radio Studio across from Gate 1 as we continue on This Week in Race Baseball on this Mother's Day. Today, the race wrapping up a series against the Texas Rangers. You know, the Rangers catcher who's played the most in this series is Robinson Chirinos, the former Ray, battled concussions when he was here in 2012. And he was pleased to be back at Tropicana Field.
Yeah, Neil, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
For you, you went through so much while you're here. What does it mean to come back to this place?
It's meant a lot. I think I was a lot of memory coming to my head yesterday when I first time I came out. And it was the first time God gave me the chance to play in the big league, so a lot of good facing the other side, great person, good teammates, and happy to come back here.
You went through a lot, as I mentioned, including the year where you had all the concussions. Have you had any issues since, and how tough was that now that you're out of it?
It's what you say. It was tough that 2012 to go through everything I went through in that concussion, but thank God it's already in the past. Been hit so many times and never have any seen anything. So I have to thank Dr. Colin. He did a great rehab, and all the trainers in the other side. Me, Ron, Joe, in minor league, he was there with me the whole year, and me, I can't do it without those guys support me.
Obviously, it takes a lot of support, and now you've gotten an opportunity to play on a regular basis with Texas, especially last year. What did that mean, and why do you think you were so successful?
It meant a lot. It was something I was chasing since I signed in minor league. You know, have the chance to play in the big league consistent, and to have the chance to play last year, and everything God helped me to do for this team. I would appreciate still humble, working hard, smile, try to help my team any way I can to win. And it's what I say, you never know when it's going to be the last chance you put that uni on. So I really enjoy every moment.
What did you learn about yourself?
A lot. I mean, just to never give up, continue like believe in what I can do as a player and what God have for me. I think God been so good to me like all my life and you know, being here and just feel happy.
How's this season been for you so far? You've had to work with a lot of new pitchers because of all the injuries.
Yeah, it's been good. I think it was tough. The first month of April, it was tough for everybody, but we've been playing good lately. And what you say, I mean, I've been trying to learn everybody, trying to help all the pitchers to be the best they can when they're in the mound. And for me, I just enjoy every moment. I mean, try to help this team any way I can. And been working hard in my hitting to get back in track and try to be consistent every night.
How's the new manager?
He's great. I mean, Jeff has been good. He's trying to put everybody in one page and he believes as a group he can do it, and he's been great.
Good to see you. Continued success.
Thank you, Neil. God bless you.
And that's Robinson Chirinos, former Rays catcher, now with the Texas Rangers. Right now, let's turn to the Rays minor league side. Our latest show, Prospect Spotlight, is out, and you can find the video program at RaysBaseball.com/Prospect Spotlight. On it, we highlight 21-year-old shortstop Daniel Robertson, who came over in the Ben Zobrist trade from Oakland. Robertson has been impressive on the field, but also off it, and Daniel credits his dad, Donald, who in 2013 passed away after a three-year battle with cancer.
From a young age, you know, my dad was a big influence on my baseball career. I don't think I'd be at the point I am now if it wasn't for him, you know, paying for showcase tournaments, travel ball tournaments when I was younger, taking me here, taking me there, flying me here, doing pre-draft workouts all over the country, just endless, you know, amounts of batting practice. Just he wanted the best for me, and he worked his butt off so I can have that, and I don't think I could ever pay him back, you know. He always told me at a young age, believe you belong, you know, and I always found myself when I was playing at a younger age, I would play with a higher age group. You know, if I was 12, I was playing travel ball with, you know, 13 or 14 year olds, kind of higher level. And he just always told me, believe you belong, have confidence in yourself, and you can do it. And I kind of on my little wrist tape, I write BYB is my little slogan type thing. And that's how I honor him. And I look at that and it just reminds me of him. And it makes me have confidence and believe that I do belong out here.
With the 34th selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Oakland Athletics select Daniel Robertson, a shortstop from Upland High School, Upland, California.
Tell us what draft day was like.
Oh, it was a whirlwind, to be honest. I didn't really get much info on when I was going to go. I kind of heard late first round, you know, second round, second day. So I told my parents, I was like, you know, let's just do a small thing. You know, maybe grandma and grandpa can come up. Let's keep it kind of low key. And if my name gets called the first day, let's have everyone come up. They can, you know, come celebrate. So I'm sitting there watching the draft. And next thing I know, I got 50 people walking through my door, and my house is just bombarded and crowded. And I'm going, gosh, you know. I get a call from a couple teams. I'm on the phone. Hey, you know, we sign here. Yeah, yeah, you know, I want to play. Let's do it. Get a call from my agent as I'm on the phone with one of the teams. Answer his call, and he's like, hey, bro, you heard anything yet? You know, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm in discussion with a couple teams right now. He's like, okay, and then hung up the phone with him, and the A's called me. Eric Martin's the local scout. Called me. He said, you know, grab your white shoes. You're coming. We got you. You're going to Oakland. And I had actually had to go to another room because I couldn't hear the phone. So I was in the other room, and right when I hung up the phone with him is when on the TV, you know, my name got called, and my house erupted, and everyone, man, it's giving me chills talking about it. It was such a great moment.
What's been your best moment to this point as a professional?
Besides getting drafted, you know, I got the call up to go help the AA team in Midland, Texas in the playoffs, and we ended up winning the championship. So for me to be, you know, a younger guy, to get thrown in that situation, it kind of taught me a lot. I learned a lot from that situation, and you know, winning the AA Texas League championship was awesome. You know, that's something I'll never forget. And that goes a long way. When you win championships in the minor leagues, it prepares you for those times in the big leagues.
What do you remember about going to the ballpark in Rancho as a kid? Were there any players that you got to interact with that turned out to be pretty good big leaguers?
There was a couple. I remember watching Jared Weaver, Howie Kendrick, because they were the Angels at the time. I know they're the Dodgers now. Definitely remember watching Jared Weaver pitch, and he's, you know, one of the best in the games to do it today. So it's kind of cool to see them play there, and then get a chance to play there in the minor leagues as well. Was pretty awesome too.
As a baseball player, how would you describe yourself?
I've come to realize what kind of player I am right now, and it's a not try to do too much, you know, stay to all fields type of player, and hopefully when I mature and get older, I'll start, you know, maybe being the guy who can, you know, power the ball to the ballpark. But right now I understand my swing.
It is a shortstop?
I love playing short. I know I'm not, you know, portrayed as the quickest guy, you know, down the line, but my instincts and the way I can read balls off the bat really helps me at that position. And I try to model my game after guys like Troy Tulowitzki or Michael Young when he plays short. That's kind of the guys. Maybe Troy with a little more power, but guys like Michael Young, you know, that's how I like playing the game like them.
That's Daniel Robertson. High hopes for a high ceiling prospect. Robertson homered last night for AA Montgomery. Now has three homers, a league leading 22 ribbies to go along with an 867 OPS. When we return on This Week in Rays Baseball, a special Mother's Day segment. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.
Happy Mother's Day and welcome back to This Week in Rays Baseball. I'm Neil Solons. I had a chance to speak with several Rays players about Mother's Day and what it means to them. For Brad Boxberger, on Mother's Day, he sends his best wishes to California to his mom Marjorie, but also close to home.
Yeah, I just wanted to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day and tell her thank you for everything that she's done for me over the years and taking me around to all the different practices and different games and stuff, and always definitely always making time to be there for me and support me in every way possible.
Is it a special Mother's Day too because it's your wife's first?
Absolutely. I mean, it's her first Mother's Day, so we'll definitely celebrate and make it worth something.
Happy Mother's Day to Brad's wife, Anna. Steve Geltz thinks of his mom first and foremost when it comes to the sacrifices she made.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you so much. I hope you have the best day in the world.
Give me an idea of something of what she's meant in terms of your growth, your development.
Oh, she's been everything. She's been my rock. You know, she's been there in my corner from day one, working overnight shifts at the hospital, then waking up at 8 a.m. to take me up to a pitching lesson or a game or something, and she's just been great the whole ride.
It's a ride Steve Gelt is enjoying, as is Joey Butler.
Just want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, Jancy. Not really any stories, but you know, she's been the best.
What makes her so good?
She's just always real supportive. Loving, caring. She's just a model of a mom.
And Joey Butler's mom, Jancy, will be in town this week for the Yankee series to see Joey play. Tim Beckham's mom, Ella, has been her great role model and has taught plenty of life lessons, too.
She's been by my side through it all, the ups and downs. And like I said, I wouldn't be here without her. She, just the small things, just when I'm playing out in the yard and something wasn't happening, I'm playing with my older brother's friends. I always hung out with my older brother friends, and she would tell me, oh, just go back outside, toughen up. You need to be with your older brothers there. They're gonna make you a man. I mean, they're gonna make you tough. So sometimes, I mean, we'll be outside and she would lock the door. She wouldn't let us come in till it was night, till it was street lights came on. So she just made me, as far as off the field stuff, she made me tougher, man. And at a young age, she made me tough and kind of embedded that in me and my older brothers and just stuff around the house, as far as washing dishes, making your bed, and just being an all around better person. And I couldn't ask for a better mom to have. And like I said, I love her to death, and I know the whole family does, and they appreciate her. And for me and my older brothers, man, I mean, we wouldn't be the men we are today without her.
And that's great stuff from Tim Beckham, who next week will be featured on This Week in Rays Baseball. Now, last night, Andrew Bilotti gave his mom a pretty good Mother's Day gift, winning his Major League debut. I spoke with Andrew this morning what it was like after the game yesterday.
It was amazing. I mean, just everything kind of happening yesterday and, you know, coming to kind of the pinnacle of everything I've worked for and then getting to spend time with them after it all, it definitely capped off the night very well.
What were the moments like? Any special place you got to go to or that was recommended to spend time with mom and dad and your girlfriend after all that?
No, nothing too special. I mean, we like to keep it casual, and you know, but we definitely had a nice dinner on me, of course. Yeah, but we went out, had a nice dinner, you know, talked, everything, kind of just recapped the night, and just had a really good time.
Obviously, it has to be your best Mother's Day for your mom ever. What was that whole call like when you broke the news that you were getting that first call up?
Well, it's funny because I remember talking about, you know, what would happen. whenever she got the call, and you know what my parents would do, and you know, you never really know until it happens. So I give her the call, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm kind of slowly, you know, guiding her into it because I know she's gonna freak out. So I finally tell her, and I can hear her like running around the house in the background, you know, going to wake up my dad, jumping on the computer right away, getting a flight and everything. So yeah, it was definitely amazing on her end.
Since this is Mother's Day, is there any kind of story that kind of epitomizes who your mom is and the support she's provided over the years?
Well, I mean, she has absolutely been there 110% through absolutely everything that's gone in my life. You know how you hear, you know, yeah, she's taken me to, you know, Little League games and stuff, and, you know, just to school and this and that, doctor's appointments, anything. She's just been there. And, you know, she's definitely the best mom that I ever could have ever dreamed of having. So, you know, not only does today represent, you know, something for her, but, I mean, every day she's just been there for me.
And that's Andrew Bilotti, and great stuff from him, and well said. Congrats on his success in his Major League debut, and happy Mother's Day to his mom, Pam. You know, understanding what a baseball wife is all about isn't easy for most to comprehend. So here on Mother's Day, we sat down with one Allie Shelton, the wife of the race hitting coach, Derek Shelton. There's a lot to balance for Allie, a mom of three, and I asked her, first, what Mother's Day means to her.
Being with my kids. A lot of people are like, I just wanted to take the kids away and have a break. Being with the family and having a break altogether. This Mother's Day, actually, Derek reserved a cabana at the beach for us and the kids and a bunch of our friends, and then he'll join us after the game. So, relaxing on the beach this year.
Is that count as your best Mother's Day gift, or if not, can you remember one that was?
My best Mother's Day? See, he's always gone on Mother's Day, I feel like, so we haven't had many together, but I do remember my first Mother's Day while I was pregnant with our daughter Gianna. I got a diaper bag, and that was kind of like, welcome to motherhood, this is your first Mother's Day. So that one sticks out in my mind the most, I would say.
And certainly you mentioned, you know, wanting to be with your kids on Mother's Day. I mean, for a baseball family, there are certainly very different challenges than most. What is the greatest challenge?
I think doing it alone. Like, I think a lot of people, there's a misconception, like, yes, we have a great life and it's amazing and it's filled with so many adventures, but you miss out on those family moments that, you know, the dad really misses out on, being there with the kids, just seeing things for the first time, walking, crawling, you know, holidays. And there's lots of things that you don't think about once it starts, and then once you start having kids and you can't come and go as much as you used to when you have kids because you have sports and school and events. It's kind of, you get tied up in doing all the running around and you're trying to take pictures and savor it for the dad that's away. But it's a hard balance. It is.
Has it really become quality over quantity more than anything, especially during the baseball season, or is it kind of make up for lost time in the off season?
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I think on the days off, you know, we try to, like, you know, okay, well, we haven't gone to one of Jackson's baseball games, so we have to go fit the baseball game in on the day off, or someone has gymnastics, so we're fitting that in, but someone else has to be at baseball and someone has to be at gymnastics, so we're split, actually, and then it's like, okay, at least we can all have a dinner together. So you try to do something together, but definitely the off season, it's making up for lost time, because friends are always like, oh, you guys are done, we want to go do this, we want to go do that, and we're like, we have a lot of stuff to do with the kids. We have a lot of family things. We have the holidays, so you just kind of, it rolls by real fast.
So during the season, are you, I wouldn't say mom and dad, but how does a role change as a mom in a baseball family?
You're a single mom is what I always say. You know, first I want to say, though, anytime I do say I get sad and it's like, oh, it's lonely and you're doing this on your own, I think of Army Wives. And then I think, wait a minute, they are gone for years at a time, and you don't know if they're coming back. And I know he's gone at most 10 days, and he is coming back safely. So before I do, like, complain about anything, it's not that bad. It's just, yeah, you take on mom and dad, and that's okay. You know, I can do that now. It really definitely makes you independent. I was not as independent and structured and, like, have my schedules and have who's going where, what and when. And, you know, I can I can fix a toilet now, and I can fix everything around the house and put a bike together. So that part is, you know, hard to adjust to, but once you get it, it's okay. It's hard on the kids. It's hard at the coming and going when they're young. They don't understand.
I was going to ask what the hardest part was and how the kids handle it, and does it get any easier from year to year?
You know, all three of our kids, we talk about this all the time, really handle it differently. The older one, Jackson, you know, he used to be upset just kind of the day of him leaving and be down, and then he was over it in a couple hours. The middle one, Bella, she was kind of like, all right, see ya, you know, she didn't care. And the youngest one, I think, is the most, since she was two, if she'd see a luggage out, she would sit in it and cry. We would hide it in the garage the night before. Even now, we have to have a calendar up, and we have a map of he's going here, and this is how many sleeps he's there, and how many sleeps he's going there, and FaceTime's helped a lot. She also likes to ask Daddy, which mascot's there? What mascot are you playing? So we find creative ways to kind of keep it okay, but it's hard on them. They're kind of used to it, but it still never gets easier.
I know in Derek's case, I mean, being the hitting coach, as you know, as a wife, sometimes by the fans, he probably gets the most critiqued, probably unfairly so. How is it for the kids? Do they hear it at school, and how, as a mom, do you try and handle that and help them through that? Because I would think that has to be the hardest part.
Yeah, you know, it never mattered. Well, so when we were in Cleveland, it didn't matter because season ended, we left and came back here and you were away from it. I think it's harder, too, that we live here. This is home to us, so we don't leave. And now, you know, the girls are too young, but, you know, Jackson's 14. So he gets it. He hears it at school. And even if he hears it, he's not going to bring it up to his dad because he doesn't want to hurt his dad's feelings. He'll ask us about things like, are we leaving? Are we going to have to leave? And, man, people are mad at Dad. And we just kind of explain it like, you know what, it's easier for Dad to just take it. And, you know, he just ignores it, and you don't read that stuff. And, you know, Dad's doing his job and doing the best that he can. And they see how Dad's an extremely hard worker. That's one thing about my husband that I always say I love and I loathe, because he's committed during the season and off season. So you just kind of got to ignore it, not read it.
You, in fact, the two of you are about as active as any members of the race organization from a staff standpoint. I mean, what you helped raise over $135,000 with All Children's through Mystery Ball. Why is that cause so important to you guys?
I think, you know, I started doing charity back in Ohio with the wives, with the Cleveland Indians, and I realized how amazing it was to give back to these people and how we are in a position to where we're able to do it, where we're able to put things together with the help of the Rays and the teams and help these people that are really in need with this, that need the money or need the help in any way, and we can raise the awareness. And not, you know, being able to work a full-time job because you have to be mom and dad and always be there for the kids. I really threw my all into this. And All Children's Hospital is just amazing. I just think they do wonderful things over there. And they go over and above. And the communication with them and the relationship we have with them now is just amazing. I mean, we're working on an event right now. Also, Derek and I, with the Rays Wives, a close friend of ours, I don't know if you've heard of Sophia Anderson, has stage 4 neuroblastoma, but on the drive, and we're holding an event, a private event for her with the Rays Wives at the end of May. So that's our next big thing. But we, on the way over here, I just got a text that the doctors called and the tumors are gone. And so she only has like one more round of chemo, no surgery. And so things are looking up for her too.
It's so you have a personal connection, obviously, with this, but is that where it started with All Children's, or was there something else that kind of brought you to that particular cause?
Well, funny story is, speaking of baseball lives, you're always coming and going, so we're always moving into different places, whether it's spring training or a different team or moving closer to the field. We had just moved into our house down here. I didn't know the area. My daughter had fallen off of we had a little like fireplace ledge. She was only two, hit her head, and I ran in there in a panic. Derek's at the ballpark, didn't know where to go. The team had said take her to All Children's. And the way they treated us and the doctor that took us in, and his wife is now our pediatrician, just the relationship and the way they go above and beyond to help families all over and to be nonprofit and they don't turn anyone away. It just something just really, it just keeps getting better. So that instance happened. You talk to other wives on the team where they've had great run-ins and now the stuff with Sophia, it's just that there's more and more signs that we've chosen the right organization, and I'm so happy and thankful for that.
Obviously, you know, you mentioned the other wives, and it's almost like you become a family with them, especially when the team is on the road. So what is this family like? I mean, you know, you've now been here for 6 years.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's like a forever-changing family, which is good and bad, because this year, you know, we have a lot of new people, and people come and go. You know, it's sad, the Zobris and the Rodriguezes and the people in the folds, you know, so you form this bond, because when the players and the guys get here, they have that instant family bond in the clubhouse. So these wives are moving here with children, without children, into a place where they don't know anybody. And they're in this apartment of this house. They don't know the area. They don't have any friends. They don't have any family. But the guys are coming and going with their buddies in the clubhouse. So we really try to make it like a group family here. We do all these charity events. We have meetings. We have dinners. We say, oh, we throw out group texts, going to the beach today, anyone want to join, going to lunch, you know, going to work out. So we try to take everybody in so nobody feels like, oh, I'm just sitting in this city and I don't know anybody and I'm waiting for him to get home. And so it's good to have that with each team. I think that you really, really need that.
Are the Rays wives, is the group a little different even than Cleveland in a positive way?
I think, you know, everything's different. It really depends on the age of your team. When you're a young team too, it's a little different, you know, it's about the people that have kids, the people that don't have kids, but for the most part, no, everybody's great. Everybody wants to hang out. Everybody's in the same boat. We're all in the same thing. Let's do things while they're gone, because it gets lonely and it's a long 10-day road trip, and you know, after school you're kind of sitting in the house, and it's, you know, we try to, if the busier you stay, the faster the road trips go by and you're not so lonely.
Well, hopefully this homestand feels like a long time and you enjoy a real happy Mother's Day with all the other families you're connecting with on the beach. We certainly appreciate a few minutes.
Yes, thank you. Happy Mother's Day to everybody else out there, too. Thank you.
That is Allie Shelton, the wife of the race hitting coach Derek Shelton and mom of Jackson, Gianna, and Isabella. And we certainly wish her and all the Rays' moms and those in our audience, of course, a very happy Mother's Day. And, of course, I want to wish my mom, Linda Solons, and my wife, Sari, a happy Mother's Day, too. Sari really does all the heavy lifting at home with her daughters, Emily and Abby. Hey, follow the Rays all season long in 2015 with MLB.com At Bat. It is the number one app for live baseball. At Bat is up to the moment at any moment with in-game highlights, live look-ins, replay reviews, radio broadcasts, statcasts, and more. Get MLB.com At Bat for your smartphone or tablet. Early in the program, we mentioned that Daniel Robertson was having a terrific start with AA Montgomery. I want to also note that all of the Rays minor league affiliates are doing well. It's not only the Rays, who start today at 17-14, two games out of first in the American League East. Three of the four full-season Rays minor league affiliates start today over 500. In fact, one of them, Charlotte, has won two of every three games. They're 20-10. The Rays minor league record overall is 71-48, so they've won nearly 60% of their games to this point in the season. Want to thank all of our guests on this program on this Mother's Day edition. Steven Souza Jr., Rays outfielder. Orestes Destrada joining us from Sun Sports. Shortstop Daniel Robertson. And if you missed our feature with him, you can catch our video show, RaysBaseball.com/prospect spotlight. It also features a look at some of the Rays prospects who've gone through Australia, including last year's Player of the Year in the Rays minor league system, and outfielder Johnny Field. Also, thanks to Texas catcher, former Ray, Robinson Chirinos, for being with us, Allie Shelton, wife of Derek, and all of the Rays players who came on to wish their Mother's Day, or wish their mom a happy Mother's Day, including Andrew Bellotti, who, of course, won in his major league debut yesterday. Happy Mother's Day to his mom, Pam. On our next show, which, of course, is next Sunday, we're going to sit down with Tim Beckham and learn more about his first extended period in the big leagues. By the way, if you ever have something you want to hear on our program, all you have to do is tweet me at Neil Solons. If you're not on Twitter, well, then you can email me postgame at RaysBaseball.com. Special thanks today to our producer, Jason Berenger. Nice job. Again, a very happy Mother's Day to all. I'm Neil Solons. Stay tuned. The pregame show is next on the Rays Baseball Network.
Thank you for listening to This Week in Rays Baseball.
Driven in the air to center field. Kiermaier going back at the wall, jumps up and makes the catch.
If you missed any of the show, catch it on archive at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
3-2 to Looney is launched in the air, right center field. This one's on its way, and the Rays have tied it up. A homer for James Looney, and it's 5-5.
keep it right here. The Rays Pregame Show. 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 The Rays Pregame Show.